Okay, let's pick up Romans chapter 5. We're going to pick up at verse 1. I think we only got a couple of verses down, so it won't hurt us to go back. I'll read the first couple of verses, then we'll have prayer and get started. Romans 5, chapter 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege to assemble together as a body to study your word. We pray our hearts and minds will be open to receive it, and we pray that it would work effectually in us as we believe. We pray for those who are not here, for all those who've come through here and been partaker of this ministry. We pray that you would strengthen all those members, the body members universal, according to our needs. And we pray once again as we go forward, we pray for those who are sick, those who are confined to their homes. Strengthen them in the inner man. And we thank you in advance for the reading and believing of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, chapter 5, I don't know if we covered this, but I'm going to look at it from this point. Is when you're reading Romans, Paul is equipping the saints for service again, for worship and service again, the opportunity that they had lost, not just Gentiles, but Jews all. You know, Paul, I think we spoke about it last week, Paul being a present day apostle. Well, I say present day, not. Well, he is a present day apostle, but the latest apostle to speak for the Lord. You know what I mean when I say that?
Well, 1 Corinthians 15 said last of all.
But you know what I mean what do I mean when I say that?
From God, the words from God.
He's the only apostle speaking today with from that point on with continuing authority. Because this is the day of grace. This is what we call the dispensation of grace, the age of grace. And Paul being an apostle, we get our instruction still today from him. When he said in 1 Corinthians 14, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you. They were. They are the commandments of God. That was from over 2,000 years ago. That's why we have the confusion that we have today, is that you have people listening to other apostles or mixing messages from other apostles or prophets, and not in the light of Paul's message. And he says in that same verse, but if any man be ignorant, and that's kind of where we are. But if you want to be established, as he wrote, that's why he wrote, is you have to listen to him. He will get you back to a position of foundation, okay? A proper worship and service for God today. You won't have to wonder about, am I doing what God wants? Or is this what he's pleased with? Or what should I do?
What's his will?
He'll. That's what establishment does. It explains that to you. Yeah, you got your teenage. They'll grow up, and it's a possibility, and we'll get to this in a second here. They might grow up asking things about, I wonder if God wants me to go to this college, or if he wants me to go to that college. I'm going to pray about that, which they can do that. But, or he might say, well, does God want me to play football? Or does he want me to play baseball?
You ain't going to find that in the word.
You don't think those questions come up in people's minds?
Yes.
It may come up. Does he want me to buy this car? Or does he want me to buy that car?
Does he want me to quit this job and get that job?
Does, yes, all those incidentals where that's like you, that's like Mia is off grown and gone to college. She calls back and she might say, hey, Mom, I'm thinking about buying this car. Should I buy this car or that car? You might give some input, but ultimately, it'll be her decision to make. Now, this is when God restores our position, that's when he restores our position as sons, that's basically what he's given us is the responsibility that in Romans 12 that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's up to you to know what that is because he's given it. If God was doing that today, when I say doing that, is if he was whispering in your ear saying, take the red car. Or don't buy that house. If he was doing that, don't you think our error margin would be pretty low? Mm-hmm. When I say error margin is look at the disasters we get into after. Mm-hmm. After you've fervently prayed. Am I on track? Okay, can we put that on the Father? How do we explain that? Listen, I'm not talking about us in this room. I'm saying on a universal scale, all believers operate in what they believe is faith.
Mm-hmm. It's semi-related. You know, you hear about divine intervention back when, back in, you know, Israel and prophecy.
Right.
Do you think that happens? I mean, we don't know, but, and we can't point to it, but, see.
Now, she asked a question. She said, back then, you were pretty sure about you can see divine intervention as it goes, as it's in play.
But had a promise of blessing and cursing based upon
performance or lack thereof. Yeah. But at the same time, and I'll say this, Jenny, is.
I'm not banking on it. I was just curious because you can say, people will say, but you don't believe in miracles?
Right.
You know, stuff like that. How do you answer that? Other than it's not written in there, but God is God and he can do what he wants. He's just not telling us, maybe. You don't.
That's.
You get as Tony, I was studying that yesterday. Here's one of those. Mm-hmm. Study that exact issue.
Take a picture and send
it. Well, I'll say this. I'll say this. What I have learned going forward is this. I won't invalidate your belief on that. When you say, well, I believe that the only way that this happened, it had to be God. Okay.
You can't argue it, you can't prove it.
Because that's how you feel about it. And the only way I won't convince you if that's what you believe.
Right.
So now I'm debating what you believe, what the conclusion that you've already drawn.
And you're getting out of the
way. So, and like you said, you can't go back and say, well, God said this would happen.
Right.
Now, if you want to give him.
You really should dial it back and just get back to the gospel anyway, because the person's probably got it mixed up
Some people think that God is controlling every single thing.
Yeah. Right.
Every move, every breath.
Right.
All the bad stuff, all the good stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right. I was just thinking about that coming over here. Like they have a fatalist kind of, what's going to happen? God is in control. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. Let me tell you a quick story. I said we're going to read this in a minute.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me, but I mean, like, in a Calvin sort of way.
Yeah, that's the only way that's the way it is. This was years ago. My grandmother was having a major surgery, and I had to pick her up in that morning to be at the doctor. And I was going to the airport. I was in Detroit, and she was in Mississippi. I was going to the airport, and it was a traffic jam. In the morning, it was a traffic jam. I was supposed to get there, and I said, "Man, I'm like, this is not good." Long story short is, I was off schedule after I got through the traffic. I had to park and check in. You're supposed to do this. This is when, you know, everything was high alert. Mm-hmm. 2 hours ahead, won't you? Well, I wasn't there. I was there maybe an hour ahead of time, if that. I knew that I missed that flight. There was no way I should have been on this flight. I get to the, I get checked in, and check my bag in. I get to the gate. Everybody's gone. They're boarded. They already boarded the plane. The door was closed. The lady comes out and she said, "Is this your flight?" I said, "Yeah." And she's like, "Oh." She said, "Well," I said, "Is it any way I can get on there?" She's like, "We just called all the standbys. They're closing the gate." She said, "But wait a minute." She calls back there. And then she walks back there, and then she comes running out there. She said, "Come on, right now." I'm thinking, no way.
That's America. God, touch the heart.
Look.
Guardian angel. Yeah.
Now, to me, there's...
extreme circum, yeah.
From the traffic jam to the parking to the check-in to the gate.
Yep.
So I said, man, I said... I can't explain that.
Right.
Now, do you think God was like, "You can't miss that surgery"? No way. For every one of my stories,
everybody else has a story.
There's some people that I missed the flight or it was canceled and they missed some major deals.
Yep.
So, you know, that reminds me of a cartoon I saw once. And the guy was counting out the money. And he said, "One for you, one, two for me. Two for you, one, two, three for me." So the reason I say it like that is because you don't have God arbitrarily doing that. Like Johnny said, "I do what I want to do. Tell you what, I'm going to get you on this plane. But over here, I'm going to let this plane with all my believers in, I'm going to let this one crash dive."
Favor, they'll say favor ain't fair. You know?
So, but
there's something so special about you that bad things can't happen.
Ourselves.
See, that's what he said. There's something so special about you that God won't let it happen to you. Now, there are some people that he did that for, like apostles and prophets, and some of them he let die.
But he talked to him and promised them. He actually got, you know.
Yes.
It wasn't just like you just say, "Well, everything's wrong around me." And,
well, look at the Hebrews where he talks about, you know, they wandered about, did all this, looking, never found it, but believed in hope against hope.
And, right. It said they did it
in faith.
Now, I can't. Yes.
Well, I heard. Well, somebody else said that the only reason why that they blessing had happened to them because they prayed harder than the other person, or that they worked on money more than the other person did. This one, they just happened faster, or this way it happened to them more than the other person blessing.
When you say they worked up on it, what did they explain
like
that to you?
They prayed for it every day, and if they
okay.
If they tithe and offering, and if they fast and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know what that word means? What you just said. That means hard, constant, earnest, honest. That's what it means. Now, if you want to throw, you know what? You throw this on there. When they fast, that means I'm really serious about this. Where, you know, I'm
extra special pixie dust.
See, so that's what Mia just said. That's do you? There's a lot of people who fervently pray.
And who don't rightly divide.
And they don't, and it doesn't happen.
And then they hate God.
Well, they may not hate them, but they question. See, when we talk about in faith, that is based on His Word, what He said. We just went through the whole chapters. Faith is this. What did God say to you that you could bank on? Not I'm really, really playing hard about this and hoping this happens. I believe in God. And the harder I pray, that's going to change His mind.
That's performance.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember Hezekiah in the Bible? Anybody remember? He was sick.
Oh, yeah.
And God says, you're going to die. And I'm paraphrasing this. And he said, well, Lord, I've done a lot of good. And he said, please remember me. And he says, tell you what.
Give you 15 more years.
Tell you what, because of your fervent prayer.
And then he messed up big time.
He said, I'm going to add 15 more years on.
But I'm
going to
be broke because I showed everybody my 15.
Now. How many times you might have a bunch of fervent prayers, like people praying for somebody to get sick or to that sick to get well? How many fervent, say her friend was only one. How many fervent prayers? Matthew said two or three.
Yes.
And that's all it takes. If they agree, I'll do it.
But that's not today.
Now you have a whole, you can have a whole.
You had that church out in California just this past month. The baby died, and the whole congregation continued to pray. The baby would be raised up. Finally had to have a funeral service.
Speaking of babies.
My sister. When I was much younger, she had cancer. And, I mean, we went from prayer meeting to prayer meeting. And, I mean, it was people in there, like you say, fervent. I mean, they were speaking in tongues, and we shouted fast, and oh, it's a done deal. But after all of that, and all those meetings, and all those whole churches doing that, she died. So then they say, well, okay, I guess it wasn't God's will.
Yeah. Yeah. See? And that's what it's... So you're going to have, he did it, and if he doesn't, well, that's just his will.
Or they say he's not a magical person, he can't do everything.
Now, that's true. He's not...
He can't lie.
That's right. Now, he can't do everything. He can do everything but lie. Mm-hmm. And if he's... If it was a guarantee, then it would always be this way. It's not yay, yay, and nay, nay. But when he doesn't guarantee this, then you're left holding the bag. Now, with all that said, that's why I said, you know, I've learned this. If you want to go out on that limb, that's fine. Go ahead. And I'll be at the trunk when you get back.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just saying. That's because you can't listen. And then we're going to get back. I talked to a grace believer, and he's much smarter than I am. And he said, you know what, Frank? He said, I'll tell you what. He said, there's no way I could have got this house. Without God.
What?
I said, well, what you mean? And he said, there's no way we didn't qualify for this. We didn't have the money for it. And I said, that didn't happen. That was not God. I didn't say that. You know what I said?
Okay.
That's what I said. I said, okay.
That's what I said.
That's what I said, okay. I said, okay. How you gonna argue that? I said, okay. Listen, let me tell you. I said one more. Yes. When I transferred here to Memphis, we had a real estate agent. We saw maybe 6 houses. No luck. Made several trips. We sold our house before we had a house. They called and they said, listen, you got 2 weeks to get here. And I told my wife, I said, we don't have nowhere to stay. We're going to have to go to an apartment. I said, I'm going to look online. I found 3 houses. So let's make a trip. And we made a trip in week 1. So, okay, we got there. Last day, last house, we had our bags in the car. We said, well, let's take a look at this last house. I picked it online. And in my mind, I said, this is probably the house she gonna want. Got in the car. We drove out there. And the guy was pulling out the driveway. And I said, that's your house? He said, yeah. He says, I'm on my way out of town. He said, but come on back up. I'll show it to you. We went back up, looked at it. And my wife, she came. She said, that's what I want. That's the one I want. The last house on the last day, the guy was pulling out of the yard. And it was a great deal. And they called me and said, tell you what. I said, we don't have any place. He said, we'll push it back a month. They gave us time to close out everything. Now, how do I explain that?
You said you had to.
But this is something my wife said. She said, for a guy who teaches the Bible and talks about faith, she said, you sure don't have any.
No,
I said, wow. You don't think that'll shake your mind up? Mm-hmm. After you done went through this circumstance, and then she said, you know what, you can read a lot, but you ain't believing.
But nothing was promised to you.
Look, don't you think I know that? I know
you're
that.
The one that looked up and found the house.
That's the kind of that's the stuff I'm talking about.
The gray area. Or it's not true.
You can't, look, you can't drive that home and say, God got us that house.
I mean, everybody kind of has a story like that if you want to make it.
Everybody, you know what? What about the people that get evicted? I'm believing God that somebody will come through and help us out. Next thing you know, your stuff is out on the curb. You don't think saved people get evicted? You don't think saved people go into foreclosure? You don't think saved people lose a house?
Now with that God's will, you get evicted.
Look, so
just those who don't mind me about not kidding.
Listen, you can go look. Romans 5. I'm gonna tell you one more story.
Yes.
We were in Detroit. Our church in Detroit was right behind, it was in the cultural district. And it was a high dollar district. And we had, you know, our little brick church in the back, you know, 200 members, 150 or 200 members. The city council had been trying to get us out of there for years. They were putting any private park on the street, they would give them tickets on Sunday. So, but anyway, they tried different techniques, and finally, they said, you know what, we're going to condemn the building. Because it was a historic landmark. It was one of the first buildings that the Plymouth Brethren built. So it was a historic site. So they couldn't condemn it. But they called us downtown, and they said, listen, we just not going to make no bones about it. We want you out of there. We want the land, and we want you to leave. And if you stay, we're going to make you bring this building up to code as much as we can that's not grandfathered in. We want you to get a ramp. We want you to do this, with all kinds of things. So my pastor, he said, well, you just can't put us out. Well, you know, we're going to have something, somewhere to go. They picked a church, several churches, and they said, you go look at them. And we did. Mm-hmm. And when we said, well, this is what we want, and they said, all you have to do, you are responsible to move in there. We went from a $30,000 building to a $300,000 building.
So you just got yourself a bigger tax.
Look at God.
Johnny.
Want to do it?
With no money.
That sounds to me like
do you know how many?
Oh yeah.
That sounds to me like the Good Samaritan story, and by chance. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm just saying, do you know how many? Now you got a leg to stand on, huh? If you wanna, hey, listen, we ain't no running the mill. We ain't a running the mill believers now. We rightly divide. We know what's going on here. If he gonna do it for anybody, he gonna do it for us. He he kept us from getting evicted, or you know, put out, or he. And we got a new church for no money.
You do the promise land.
I know. Stuff happened in our lives.
I'm just saying. So look, back into my original statement is, I can't say if that's your experience, praise God. Okay. And you have a bad one, praise God.
Okay.
Not so. You see what I'm saying? Not so fast now. So, but what we do have is a more sure word, and I say this. If you're going to go out on a limb, go out on a faith limb. When I say what you believe, what he said. Mm-hmm. So if it don't happen like you faithing, you won't be looking at God and say, well, he ain't come through this time.
Let me down. What did I do?
Now, watch this. I said we're going to get back to Romans 5:1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, we talked about that position last week. That grace is not just it's God giving us, as Paul said in Ephesians, all spiritual blessings, the all spiritual blessings that we need. It's a position that we have. Access by faith into this grace. That's God's. That's when, like Johnny joke around, that's his favor. That just means that now you in a position now for service again, and some intelligent worship of God. We say intelligent, but he's adding that information on as he goes. We have access into this grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That is, when he talks about his presence, if you hope to see God again, where would you hope to see him?
In the air.
Right. And he's talking about the, can you see that? The heavenly places. Do you know that the Old Testament access in the grace and hope of the glory of God is not the same as ours? It's earthly. Now, let me ask you this, because this goes back to the beginning. When Adam was in God's grace, and when Adam had his access to God's glory, where was he? He was in Eden. In Eden. So what was his? He had what was his glory? When he said he would rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What did that mean to him?
The presence in the presence of God.
In the presence of God, what did that entail for him?
Working like alongside physical, of God.
Like working alongside of him, like the physical manifestation there with him. You know, when he said in the beginning, he said, "Where when he said, where are you?" When he said, where are you?
Not there anymore.
What did he mean? Why did he have to ask him, where was he?
Why have you gone contrary to what we were doing together?
What we were doing together. That was, well, I'm going to use this word.
And it wasn't that God didn't know. It was for Adam to answer that question.
Do you know what that entails?
Equality. Partnership.
Yes. Now she's studying scripture, right? That word is an old English word from shape. That means to, obviously you know what that means. To mold, to equip, to prepare, to be a fellow. That's what that, when he talks about the glory of God and the access that he have, that's his position. That's what he had. And when he talks about us, we have access into this grace where we stand. That's your position. And rejoice
in hope.
Why? Look, I think we said, what a man seeth,
why do they hope for?
He rejoiced in expectation of the glory of God.
Because he understands God's integrity.
When he understands.
Because he understands God's integrity. In other words, like with Abraham, because God said it.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll use this example. When you get a new job, you have an expectation, don't you? You have expectation in the glory of that job, don't you? The glory. Okay, that is same thing, glory. But you're looking forward. What are you looking forward to? Your new position at your new location. And when you get there, you know what? You either say, I love my job, or it's not what I was expecting. But knowing God, you won't get there and say, this wasn't all it was cracked up to be. The glory of this position is not bright. But we rejoice. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Look, the position is secure.
Glory and tribulation.
We're just waiting for the transfer. Paul said like this in Philippians. He says, our citizenship, from whence also we look for the Savior, who shall also change our to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. The only thing we're waiting for is the relocation. So for you to have a body that's equipped for the location that you... He said that he may change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his
glorious.
His glorious body that allow you to experience flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But he says, if I show you, look, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be what?
Changed. In the moment.
To do why? Why?
To be in the heavenly
position.
Well, that's it.
He said there's bodies terrestrial and there's bodies celestial.
We can't go.
That's right.
We can't serve in the heavens with the body.
Not this.
That. Not that space.
That's why when you get to Romans 8, he said, we're waiting for the adoption. That is to know. Do you know to know?
Okay.
To know? To know the redemption of our bodies. That's to make that glorious change. So, while you're waiting here, he said this. Okay. Now, while you're waiting here, this is the difference. While you're waiting here, waiting for that, you got the access, waiting for the expectation of the glory of God, you're waiting for that. What do you think is going to happen while you're down here?
Tribulation.
He said, knowing this. Knowing this, this is going to help you out. Knowing this, that tribulation, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Wrong church, right? Wrong message, wrong day. Knowing also that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope.
So the more bad stuff you go through, the more you look forward.
Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience should strengthen what?
Going home.
Your expectation. Why?
God said it, and it's true.
And hope maketh
not ashamed.
Your expectation.
So you should be bold.
It maketh not ashamed because. Because. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. And tribulation worketh patience. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because when you're going through the rough time, what's the first thing you say?
Can't wait for my new body.
No, first thing.
Why me?
Why me?
We complain, murmur.
Where's God? When am I gonna get out of this mess?
Get up out of here.
But you shouldn't, if you are operating in faith, those questions will be answered. And that's why he said, look, he said, knowing this. Do you know this?
Yes.
When you get in here, I want you to know something. Tribulation is coming. But tribulation works patience. That's endurance. And patience, experience. I've been through this before. Where they say the catchphrase, and this too.
Sure. Yeah, done that. But that helps you to talk to other people.
Tribulation, patience, patience, experience. It, you know what? It don't change my expectation at all.
That's grounded.
The Lord comes, right, on earth, and John's the forerunner, John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thinking this thing is going to go, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Next thing you know, he's in jail. Mm-hmm. And he says, wait a minute. He said, go send for him and ask him, Mike, is he the one that should come or should we look for another? Why did he ask that question?
Because of his circumstances.
Because he, it's not, why, wait a minute, why am I in here? Yeah. He said, wait a minute, you're the king.
Where's your mansion?
I'm with you. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for these things. Waiting for the kingdom, wasn't he? And when he ends up in jail, he said, this is not on the this
of good things.
Even when Christ came, he was in a lowly state. He wasn't, the first time.
That's
the second time he's gonna be all decked out, but the first time.
That's important. He came the first time for a reason, a preparation, if you will. Not for him, but for you. Because without him doing that first time, you get no access or no expectation. Now, When you know this, I'm saying you, modern day us, when you know that this is part of it, when I say this part of it, tribulation, you think this, okay, when I get saved, it's smooth sailing. When Paul said, he says, I'm the pattern, and the first thing that the Lord said is,
suffer
few things.
Many.
Some things.
Many.
Not many things. Many. And he tells to you and I that it's not only given to us to believe on him, but also
to suffer.
And he said, and all that will or want to live godly shall
suffer
what? Persecution.
You know, you mentioned something about, you know, we all think about him as Paul as the pattern, but, you know, when I think of him as the pattern, I'm thinking, okay, he's our apostle, Romans through Philemon. We read what he read, we follow Christ as he follows Christ, but he's also a pattern for suffering.
Isn't that what we talked about?
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, ding, ding. I didn't, yeah. You know, I always
thought
the other part.
The good part.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's not. Now, this is.
I just want to share something. Because this is what I was studying all day yesterday. I won't read all of it, just one little excerpt. And it all came because I got a text from Scott. We were back and forth talking about the Rachel and Eddie. And he texted, the last thing he said was, pray for God's intervention in Aiden's life and development. That got me thinking. And I just wrote down real quick, man's prayer, God's intervention, God's healing. And I wrote, Paul tells us, my grace is sufficient. We are his body. We're to be the hands of it. We don't sit back and say, oh, well, God, please intervene. That's what we're here for, to do, right? And I wrote, that we display the power and sufficiency of his grace when our circumstances and situations don't shake our faith, and our faith is resting in the truth of God's word.
In the what? In the truth
of God's word.
And so this is what I'm saying is, just because we have this position, the position that we have as sons, believers, and you have access. You have access into this grace. Now, I'll show you how this works. Is this. You just said it. Now, Paul, look at 2 Corinthians. You just quoted in Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians is Paul gives like detailed accounts of his suffering. Now, what did I say? 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Now, this is Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is Corinth, to all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of
comfort.
All comfort. The God of what?
All comfort.
You believe that?
Yeah.
Financial comfort?
Any comfort.
Emotional comfort?
Spiritual comfort.
Physical comfort?
See, it's got to be spiritual because this is Paul. Everything.
Stay with me. Stay with me. The God of all comfort.
All comfort.
All means all. Now, he said this. Keep reading. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in
any trouble.
A particular area of trouble. In any trouble, trial, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, they already saved. What does he mean?
The body, maybe. Because you're already saved.
Saved from what?
Tribulation.
Yeah, what tribulation?
All of it.
Any. Any and all. Listen. He says, let me finish this up. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now he said, the when you go through this, you draw on the God of all comfort. And the same comfort that he comforts you with, you comfort the other person with. But if you have never had to be, that's why he said, this works for you like it works for me. And he goes on, he said, listen, we were pressed beyond measure. So much so that we despair even of life. You have been in that situation? Well, I thought we were going to die. I'm not talking about the dramatic stuff we do.
Right.
I thought I was going to die. He almost scared me to death. No. I'm talking about the real thing where Paul, when he gives you that list in 2 Corinthians 11.
In the deep.
Yeah, that kind of
tribulation.
We haven't been through that.
No, not
I haven't. But you have areas where you can comfort somebody else. Now, I'm getting out of the scope of things, but here's what I want going into next week is this. Is as a son, he prepares you for this. Is you need to trust him. And that's how it boils down to. When you get to tribulation, as the tribulation comes up, is those things will question, it'll make you question whether, you know what, am I really saved? Why? If you go through when and you see this, when Adam was in the garden, he had all these things going for him. They said we can eat of all the trees of the garden, right?
Except
he's dress it and keep it. He's in the garden. Everything he can eat. Israel comes through, they have the same thing. They have the same. Christ comes. That was the sole purpose of the devil. When John, the baptism of John, he said, when you see the Spirit falling down, that's him. And he's in the wilderness, and the devil said, it's you, huh? Why did he tempt him? Why did he tempt him? What was going on there? Because he asked a question.
To see if he was going to rely 100% on the Word of God.
To see
if he knew his position.
He said, oh, what is it?
What is
this? Bam! There you go. To see, he said, if he said it, yes. If you be,
right.
If you be,
the Son of God.
Not just the Son,
Son of God.
The Son of God. If you be the
image,
if.
I guess because I always considered him.
You know, he is
equal to God, so it's not really
okay.
That is the image as much,
but he is.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm him. I'm coming to declare him." And he says, "Really? Okay. If you are," he says, "if you be the Son of God," he said, "if you jump down," he said, "nothing will happen to you. If you are." Cause these stones to be turned to bread. Didn't he?
Yeah.
If, look out there, all these kingdoms, if you do what? Worship and serve me.
Right, disobey.
Now, as a son, he did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's written, right? Thou shalt worship and serve the Father, worship and him only. I'm paraphrasing that. And he said, you know what, I don't tempt the Lord God. If he says he's with me, guess what?
He's with me.
I don't care if I bust my head to the white meat. It won't happen without him knowing. And when he got through and he was hungry or whatever, man shall not live by
bread alone, but by every word.
Okay. And he gets through, and then the Father sent, what happened? The Father did what? Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, remember? He sent the angels to minister to him. Now, this I'm like Paul in Romans now in 4. He said, "Now was this written
for
Jesus only? No, for your sakes, no doubt. Is this when you're in this position?" You're going to question, you're going to have the same questions. We just talked about this intervention. And Paul is saying, look, whatever state that you're in, he doesn't want you questioning these. When you go through, and it's not like they tell you, well, on TV, it's not like you hear it on the radio. When you save, you're going to have a great family. Your kids, they won't get in trouble. They won't turn to drugs. You just go to church.
It's the opposite.
Just stay in church. Stay with the Lord. And then she won't get pregnant. And she won't. Yeah. And when it happens, you're like, what? I told her all the... You can't think for her. Because she, when she gets saved, she got to experience these on her own. She got to come to those old conclusions. You don't get this by proxy. You get it by practice. You have to. That's why Paul, when he gets to Philippians, he said, let me tell you some things I learned. Paul said that. I learned this, how to be hungry, how to abound, how to abase,
how to suffer need.
He said, I learned this.
That was what else I put down here. Does it need to be tested? I mean, if it's, we're displaying faith, it's easy when everything's going well.
That's it. It's very, and it's easy to tell the next person too. It's gonna be all right. Right. Okay. Romans. He said this in verse 5. We're gonna close with this verse. And hope, patience, experience, and experience hope. Now, this is Paul. He's writing to the Romans about going through those things. Does he? Is he an authority to be trusted?
Mm-hmm.
Besides the faith, he has been through those things. Karen just quoted a verse, and he goes through and he says, I asked three times. I asked three times for the protection based on who I am. Listen, he starts off the chapter like this. He says, I could boast. Paraphrasing this, he said, I'm coming to visions and revelations. I know a man that's been to heaven.
Third heaven.
And he saw things
that
I can't even tell you. He said, I'll talk about this man. He said, but me, it's an issue that I had. It's an issue I had, Apostle Paul. And I besought the Lord
thrice.
Three times that it might depart from me. A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said unto me, why are you asking me those questions? You don't think I'm with you? You don't think I'm with you when you're going through it?
Therefore,
you don't think I care?
Therefore, most gladly.
You don't think I love you? Is that why you're asking me? Once? Twice? Three times? Where are you? You get the question?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? And he said, oh, this how this works? Most gladly, then, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I'm weak, he's coming through. Coming through with what?
Efficiency.
Ah, yeah. That. That's okay. Romans, he said this. This part of the last verse. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed. I'm not disappointed. I don't feel like he ain't there, Johnny. When I don't get out of my jam, I don't feel like he turned his back on me. I don't even feel like this. Well, it don't work. This don't work. You know what I found out? Finding out is this. My cousin, she sent me a text last night. She said, y'all don't know her, so it won't matter. She said, hello, cuz. Just want to let you know how thankful I am for a man like you in blank's life. Someone who's not just a cousin, but a man that gives him sound doctrine, sound knowledge and doctrine. Love you much. Now, I could give him that because I got it. He go to rub, though. It may not work in me. I know. It may not work in me. But that, it may have none effect with me. But that doesn't mean it doesn't work.
Right.
Okay, let me fly. Let me fly a little lower.
Sometimes you can't get out of your own way.
That's right. Let me fly a little lower. It's this. Something y'all can really understand. Just because my marriage doesn't work doesn't mean that God won't work in yours. Just checking to make sure. Not as though the word of God is not powerful. It could not work because of unbelief. In that it was weak
in the flesh.
Now, do you get that? But don't say, this ain't no good. Because you ain't no good. But what he will do, even in the middle of that, is when you know what's going on, you still have the comfort. You had a comfort in that tribulation, and you have the grace to endure it. Matter of fact, you have the grace. Is there no temptation that has taken us that is such as common to man? But with the temptation that he has, that you may be able. Nope.
Escape.
Nope.
Escape.
That you may be able, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4, or chapter 10. Verse 12. Yes, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to escape it.
Deal with it.
To skip it.
Endure it.
To what?
Go through it.
To bear it.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what Paul would say, the helmet of salvation is when you go into a situation knowing this. Like they told Paul, don't go up there. If you go to Jerusalem, this is what they said. This the prophet said this. If you go to Jerusalem, your hands going to be bound and feet going to be bound. And he said, what?
The word of God's not bound.
He was like, what? I'm not only willing to go.
Ready to be offered up.
I'm willing to die. I think he got all this straight. He got all of it straight, Blake. We got a wild ways to go, don't we?
But he got it all straight. His mama, not only the grace, but the patience. He liked his prayer.
Yeah.
Patience.
So, but look, he's starting this off in Romans. As it progresses, he's not going. He wants you to get all this straight before you get to 12. So when I get to 12, and you got all this straight,
you can present your body a living.
Oh, you all see, you read the contract now. You on board. You understand all the details of our relationship
and the privilege of our service.
So. Now, I can just give you the whole manual. See, I know now. I know you with me, and I can send you to anybody in any situation. That's what Paul said: the spiritual man in Galatians. You that are spiritual, restore in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Like I said, look, your knowledge doesn't mean that you're going to have a cakewalk.
Nope.
Because it's still, look, you can be the best cook around, but everybody eat with a fork or a spoon. It still has to be tasted, doesn't it? It still has to be food. Food is no good until you eat it. Did you cook this morning? You did? Mm-hmm. Did you eat this morning? If she didn't get up and cook, would you eat? She honest about it. Would you eat if she didn't cook? Did y'all thank her for the preparation? No?
Doing it now.
If you don't cook, nobody eats. So I'm saying that to say this is we can eat the word individually, but it benefits us and the next person too. So you know what, really, if you don't eat, then that's less you have to pass on for other people too. When I say eat. And she might have cooked today solely based on this. This is what I should do for my family. You ever wake up and feel like, I don't feel like cooking? Mm-hmm. What you do when you don't feel like cooking?
Just the leftovers
or
I'm
quick.
Cereal box.
I thought you were going to say, I just suck it up and I go back to the kitchen anyway. Something quick, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, we're going to pick up, let's see. But we're getting to the position. We're getting to the position and what that means, what that access in the grace means, and what that rejoicing and hope of the glory of God means, and how you deal with the tribulation as you go through it. He's trying to give you a foundation in the position that you have. So it won't be no questions about his protection and his provision going forward. Because just because you're in here now doesn't mean it's going to be
smooth sailing.
As a matter of fact, he's getting you ready For the rough time.
Yeah. Equipping you.
Right. Okay, so we'll stop there. We're going to pick up at verse, I'm not even back there. Let's see. Yeah, we'll pick up, verse 6 next time. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let me share this.